verse 7 through 13. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" The man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." The Lord God said unto the woman, "What is this that thou hast done?" And the woman said, "The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In 6 literal days, God created all things. The last thing he made was man. And on the 7th day, he rested. God made man of the dust of the earth, formed him, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And God took from that man a rib. And from that rib he formed the woman and brought her unto the man. And God placed them in the garden, in this place called Eden. And we read last week about one entering the garden, entering into the serpent, and tempting Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit. Verse 1 through 6 of Genesis chapter 3 here, we looked at the temptation. This morning, with the reading of our text, verse 7 through 13, we now consider the fall. The fall. The fall of man. The fall of man into sin. The fall of man into the consequences of sin. The fall of man and this helpmeet that the Lord had given unto him. From sweet fellowship with God to their running and hiding from God. When we speak about the fall of man, we're talking about man as a whole, mankind. And mankind fell in Adam when Adam fell, according to the passage of Scripture before us this morning. The devil entered the serpent, tempted Eve. She took of the fruit and ate of it in verse number 6. She gave it also to her husband with her, and he did eat. In verse 7 through 13, I believe, deals with the fall. The consequence of eating the forbidden fruit. The consequence of disobeying God. when they partook of that forbidden fruit, they were plunged into sin. And all of mankind was plunged into sin. Suffered the consequences of this great sin. Verse number 7 says, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. The eyes of them both were opened. They knew they had sinned. They saw their sin. They were now aware of the difference between good and evil. Some say before this time, Adam and Eve didn't have a conscience. They didn't need a conscience. But they've got one now, and they need one now, because now they know the difference between good and evil, and their conscience is grieved, and it pricks their heart. Some say and some think that Adam and Eve saw everything through a veil of innocence. Even before the fall, when they saw each other's nakedness, they saw it through the veil of innocence, and they were not ashamed. But now that veil is gone. And they feel great shame in seeing each other. And that will be the norm from this point on as far as nakedness is concerned. God will clothe man, and it'll be God's will and God's desire that man stay clothed and not reveal the shame of their nakedness. The revealing of the shame of our nakedness is a course of the old man, not the new man in Christ. Some say that they saw each other, they saw the creation in the light of God. God is a light. And in that light, all they saw was good. All they saw was holiness. But they've lost that now. Their eyes are opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Here's probably the first place you find false religion. False worship. They were in the perfect environment, in sweet, perfect communion with God, with one and only one real commandment: don't eat of that fruit. They have ate of it. They have fallen into sin. They've lost their innocence. They've lost their sinlessness. They've lost that sweet, perfect communion and fellowship with God. That's all been lost. And so they immediately come up with this idea of sewing fig leaves together. That's false religion. That's false worship. That's a works brand of salvation. They saw themselves as they were now, as fallen individuals. And they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. They tried to cover their nakedness with the binding and the twisting and the tying together of these fig leaves. It's interesting, in the very next verse, when they hear God coming around, they run and hide. They didn't have much confidence in their newfound religion. They didn't have much confidence in their attempts to cover their shame. Though they have tried to cover themselves with these fig leaves, when they hear God coming, let's get out of here, let's run. And they're hiding amongst the trees. I think that basically boils down to is hiding behind trees. Can you imagine? The first man and the first woman have covered themselves with these fig leaves, these works, and they know they're insufficient. They know they're still naked. They know they need something. But when God comes around, they run and hide, and they're peeking around trees, hoping God doesn't find them. Forgetting God already knew where they were. Just as God had told them, this tree you're not to eat of. When they went and hid behind the trees, God knew exactly which tree they were behind. But they thought they'd better hide. Works never work. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works. Lest any man should boast. We have sung three songs today about God's grace, and that's the only way a person is saved, is by God's grace. That's the only way a person can serve the Lord, is by His grace. That's the only way the Lord can we can do anything pleasing unto the Lord, is by grace. Are you sitting here today, proud as a peacock, with your fig leaves, thinking you're going to get to heaven because of what you've done, thinking you're going to get to heaven because of what you're doing, thinking you have done enough and you're a good little boy, you're a good little girl, you're a good little Christian because of your works. Well, when God comes, you're going to do the same thing Adam and Eve did. You're going to run and hide because works are insufficient. You need to see that. You need to see yourself as a sinner, and the only thing that can be done about that is God's grace. Repent of your sins. Believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Be saved. Their fig leaves did them no good. Your works and those things that satisfy you do not, never will satisfy God. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I believe this is something they've heard before. I believe God was in the practice of coming down to commune with them, to fellowship with them. Adam and Eve had a work to do. They were busy during the day doing the work appointed them. And I believe God was in the habit of coming down and communing and fellowshipping with them during those days before the fall. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Impossible. God is everywhere. There's no place God isn't. You can't go to the highest mountain and not find God, or the lowest hell and not find God, or the deepest ocean, and God's not there. But how sad is their attempt to try to hide from the presence of God. You see, something has drastically happened. They have fallen. They have disobeyed. They have plunged themselves into sin and disfellowship, and they're out of communion with God. And the Lord God called unto Adam. He calls Adam first. It's because Adam was created first. Because even here in the beginning, God made man the head and the woman the helpmeet. And as he comes in this situation and environment, the Lord speaks first to Adam. Where art thou? We know God knew where they were. I believe God asked that question, where art thou? To get Adam to thinking. Where are you, Adam? Oh, I'm hiding here behind this tree. All covered up with my nice little fig leaves. No, where are you, Adam? Hiding from the presence of the Lord? I would again ask you this morning, where are you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Where are you? Is your life everything God has purposed and planned for it to be? Where are you? Are you lost and still on your way to hell? Where are you? Can you hear God asking that question? What is your response? Where art thou? I think one of the main purposes for worship, one of the main purposes of our regular coming together and singing songs and our praying and seeking God and our opening the word to hear from him, one of the main functions of all this is for God to ask us where we are. In every service, examine ourselves. Make sure. When the church observes the Lord's Supper, you got to examine yourself. You got to make sure you're a vessel that can take of it worthily and in a worthy fashion. You ask yourself as you come to the Lord's table when it is observed, where am I? Am I where I need to be? And you do whatever is necessary to get right and to receive that fellowship and that communion. So he calls out to Adam, first of all, where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself. What? You just made yourself that wardrobe out of fig leaves. Yet he knows he's still naked. He's ashamed. He knows his works, his efforts are useless. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. So God asked another probing question in verse number 11. Who told thee that thou wast naked? How'd you come to that conclusion? God knows what brought them to this conclusion. Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of that tree? Whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat. Where are you? Who told you? You had a problem. Hast thou eaten? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. His response to God at this time is, my helpmeet, she helped me. She gave it to me, I ate of it. That woman that thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. At least he got one thing right. the I did eat. I've sinned. I've disobeyed. I've broken your commandment. After speaking with Adam, he then speaks to the woman in verse 13. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. I did eat. The serpent came into the garden to tempt Eve, successfully tempted her to eat of the fruit. Verse 6, she took of it, gave it to her husband, plunging man into sin, all of mankind in ages to come into sin. And God comes in the garden and they run and hide. And he asked the man, what have you done? The woman gave it to me and I did eat. He asked the woman, what have you done? The serpent gave it to me and I did eat. We see in Eve's sin that it could be said she sinned in ignorance. She was deceived. She was tricked. I guess you could say she really didn't know what she was doing. She was beguiled. The Bible points that fact out to us a few places, a couple times in the New Testament. It points out that Eve was deceived. The woman was deceived. Her sin was the sin of ignorance, but it still brought death. Still brought death. Sin always results in the same cost. And if you're here and you think because of your ignorance or you don't know any better or you've never been taught or you don't understand that you're excused, ignorance excuses no one. You're still accountable to God. She was deceived. Adam's sin was willful. Adam's sin was deliberate. He deliberately chose to follow his wife rather than to obey God. And willful sin, just as ignorant sin, still results in death and still results in punishment. If you're going to put it in classifications, Adam's sin was much more grievous than Eve's, but they both sinned. They both broke the commandment of God, and they both were plunged into the consequences of their sin. So here's the fall. Adam and Eve's fall into sin. But here's where we also say, we see the fall of man. All man, all mankind. Look at chapter 5 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. Verse number 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image, and called his name Seth. Verse 5 tells us all the days of Adam were 930 years. Then he died. I find it interesting that Adam brought forth a son, and it is said that he brought forth a son in his own likeness, after his image. Adam was made in God's image, after the likeness of God. He was created with the characteristics of God. He was a God-like man. But now Adam has been plunged into sin and disobedience. He has plunged all of mankind into sin and disobedience. And now he's bringing forth after his likeness. What that teaches us is when Adam sinned as the federal head of mankind, all men were plunged into sin. You are a sinner, not just because you practice sin and you live in sin and from day to day you commit sin, but you're a sinner because you are of the seed of Adam. Adam fell into sin, plunged all of mankind and everyone that was going to come from him and everyone was going to come from him. He plunged all of mankind into sin. That's why you need to be saved. Because when Adam fell, man fell. And all of man fell. We've all been brought forth from the seed, ultimately, of Adam. You need a Savior because you are a sinner. You are a sinner because you sin. You are a sinner because you're like your father, Adam. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, Romans 5, verse number 11 and 12. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One man sinned. That was Adam. It was because of Adam's sin that sin entered into the world. Death came because of that sin. And all are sinners. But we're broken because we were plunged into sin because of the sin of Adam. See, you got the first man, Adam, was made. From Adam, then God took that rib and made the woman. And then they had children and people multiplied and filled the earth. Up to the moment that we live today, going back in time, you can go back and dwindle it until you come back to one man, one woman, through which all people came, Adam. being the first man, bringing sin, bringing death, bringing the consequences upon all people. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 21 and 22. For since by man, Adam, came death, by man, that's Jesus, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein, and all people and living things. He blessed man so much. He placed man over, really as Lord, over the creation. He placed man in this perfect world. He placed man and his wife in this perfect place called the garden. And in spite of that goodness, in spite of God's blessing them in all these ways, they sinned and brought about their fall. They're plunged into sin and wickedness. And when we speak about the fall of man, we're simply saying that all people come from Adam, and all are sinners. And all need a Savior. It was lost in Adam. It was regained in Christ. Are you saved this morning? I'm trying to be specific. I'm not asking you, do you consider yourself a Christian? I'm not asking, do you consider yourself a churchgoer? I'm not asking you, do you consider yourself a follower of a particular denomination? I'm asking you, are you saved? Have you been saved from that condition that Adam plunged all men into? Have you seen yourself a sinner? Have you believed Jesus Christ died for your sins? If not, this very moment we call you to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because you're a sinner. By birth and by practice, because Adam fell, all of man fell, and all are sinners, and everyone needs a Savior. That includes you. Do you know Christ? Let's stand together.